With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Happy Monday, May 18th. Welcome to the Morning Beat. We're so glad you're here with us. Hope you had a great weekend and you're ready for a great week ahead, because Michaela Gordon, we have a great week of guests ahead for our listeners. How excited are you about today's guest, shall I mention?
Let me tell you something. I have been a fan of Bravo television since the very beginning. Like, I watched Vicky Gunvalson live in action on the OC. I've seen it all. And when NeNe Leakes graced my screen for the first time, I knew that was my girl. And you often say she is like Housewives royalty. I agree. And she's joining us today. She has a new single out called Coming at This Honey.
Uh-huh.
And honey.
Mm-hmm.
She's wild. She talks about Drag Race and heels.
Girl, I'm going to ask her how to get the honey and how to get the money, because she's obviously doing both and she's doing just fine. It's sort of a diss track to the other girls on the cast of Real Housewives of Atlanta. They just had part two of their reunion last night. We've got NeNe Leakes on the show today. We're super, super excited to have her.
Well, and it's kind of funny because there's a little but like our afternoon show, who we love, got Cynthia Bailey from Housewives of Atlanta. And today we have NeNe, and they're like notorious for not being friends anymore.
Well, they are. Yeah. It feels like every other season they're best friends and they're not friends and they're best friends. But you know what? Cynthia Bailey does not have a single out, honey. NeNe Leakes does. And she is on our show. That's how we're kicking off our week. Can you even imagine life without Bravo? Like, what was life before Bravo?
No idea. I would have nothing to watch. 95%
of everything I watch is on Bravo.
Listen, if it's not Bravo, it's 90 Day Fiancé, which I also watched the recap of last night. That's all. I'm like a reality whore.
Okay, I'm going to tell you, that's where, first and foremost, I rebuke that. Do not speak of yourself that way. Secondly, I watched one episode of 90 Day Fiancé when I was home with my mom and sister back in Ohio last October, I think. That show is horrendous. It's terrible. I don't understand it. I don't get it.
It is a train wreck that I just can't keep my eyes off
of. Okay, so explain this to me, though. It seems to me that every single person on there is just trying to get a green card, because every relationship is an American and somebody from some other country who's trying to become an American, right?
No, there are successful relationships really? Where there are three children in. Oh, yeah. Some of them are like kind of crazy. But what's interesting to me is how far these people will go for love. I mean, they travel and they have to like figure out how to be in this country that they're so, it's so unfamiliar. And then the drama that ensues. There have been like four people from Vegas on this show looking for love.
Let's be honest, Vegas, you're a rare breed in Vegas. You're a different type of person.
Shout out to my hometown, baby, 94.1 HD2.
Shout out to your hometown. All right. So we'll table that for another day. Maybe I'll take a second look at that show. Maybe. I'm not promising anything. But Michaela Gordon, we do have some news to give to our listeners. So what do you have for us?
Okay, guys. Well, about 100 countries are pushing for independent investigation into the coronavirus pandemic. A resolution drafted by the European Union will be presented at the annual meeting of World Health Organization members this week and calls for an impartial, independent, and comprehensive evaluation of the World Health Organization coordinated international health response to COVID-19. Now, it doesn't mention China specifically, but there's a general expectation that the country where the virus originated will definitely come up. All of this comes as Dr. Zhang Nishan, the China medical advisor, confirmed that local authorities in Wuhan had suppressed key details about the magnitude of the initial outbreak, Zhang also said a lack of immunity among citizens could put China in danger of another wave of outbreaks. I think that's been the scariest thing for everybody is when you get it, is it gone or can it come back with the vengeance?
Well, and also this idea that those in Wuhan had actually suppressed information. That is a problem.
That's a huge problem.
I don't know that I blame the entire Republic of China for that.
Yeah.
But, that's a problem in Wuhan and that needs to be addressed.
Yeah. Well, if you're celebrating a birthday, a happy, happy birthday, you're in good company. You're celebrating with another housewife. Teresa Judy J turns 49 years old. I love her. Tina Fey hits the big 5-0 and surf rock singer Jack Johnson turns 45. Now, can you give us a vibe of the day on this Monday?
Of course. Stop beating yourself up for where you feel like you fell short. Your past lessons are your greatest strengths. You will need all the lessons and experiences you can get for what's ahead.
That's perfect. I love that. Don't beat yourself up. It's a new week.
Amen.
Now, coming up, our nurse practitioner, James Simmons, talks to us about how states are opening up and how that could affect the states still on lockdown. We'll have that coming up next.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Now, all you singles out there, thanks so much for hanging out with us. We might have some good news for you. Not necessarily if you live here in the United States, but if you live in the Netherlands, they're actually not just allowing, Michaela Gordon, they're advising single people to get sex buddies. That's a quote. That's a direct quote. This is actually coming from the Dutch government. They've issued new guidances to single people that are seeking intimacy during this pandemic. The National Institute for Public Health and Environment says singletons should come to an arrangement with one other person. You know, we talk so much about this pandemic and the real cost of it, what's really going on with people. Of course, people are losing jobs and businesses are shutting down, but it's this loss of physical contact mm-hmm. with people. It's been really the hardest thing. You have a partner that you live with. I have a partner that I live with. But if we didn't, I can't imagine not touching somebody or hugging somebody for 2, 3, 4 months straight.
Oh my gosh. I literally went to go visit my best friend this weekend. I went to his balcony. He lives 4 floors up. So we don't have any interaction physically, but we missed each other. And I said, how are you doing? And he goes, girl, I've never been more depressed being single. It's been 2 months for him with any sort of physical interaction. He said he wants to ask the mailman on a date. He's just anybody that will give him attention.
To be fair, I'm into a man in costume. So I kind of get that. The little short
a
shorts.
Man in uniform.
Mean, yeah.
Yeah, but you don't think about it. I definitely didn't. And then, with people saying this could go on another 2 months. We're very sex positive on this show. And I think that sex is so healthy and it's so important and it really helps relieve a lot of stress that so many people are feeling right now. So to not even be able to just go on the apps or eat, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah. I mean, they did say in this same guidance that was published on May 5th or 14th, so a Thursday, they did say, quote, it makes sense that as a single person, you also want to have physical contact during the pandemic. Although they do recommend that you engage in sexual contact, precautions should be made. Obviously, if there's somebody who you believe does have coronavirus or is recovering, you should avoid them. You should also discuss how best to do this together. For example, meet with the same person, the same one, to have physical or sexual contact with, maybe a cuddle buddy or what they keep calling a sex buddy, provided you're both free of illness. Now, that sounds easier said than done because I know some people in the best of times who can't get the same person to have sex with them more than once. So that's, but maybe now is a chance for maybe if you're batting above your league, maybe if you're a 6 and you're going for that 9 this time or that 10, maybe this is your chance to really get them to get to know you. Maybe say, listen, I know I'm not quite up to your standards. However, for the best, the both of us here, the best thing could be for us just to continue this for a while. Just you and I, just nobody else. It could give you a fighting chance.
It's just us. Well, you know what they're also advising, and I didn't think about this, something we talked about. If you expect that your partner, like Lisa or even Emil, has had COVID-19, they're suggesting even if he's been self-quarantined, do not have sex with your partner. You can have sex at a distance, so sort of have sex with yourself. So even if you are with a partner, doesn't necessarily mean you can get it on if they've gotten the virus.
Oh yeah, they also suggest self-pleasing, of course, but then erotic stories. Perhaps you could tell an erotic story to each other over Zoom. I can't think of anything less sexy then I barely knew
what
Zoom was.
What would
Zoom
that look like?
2 months ago, Zoom meant nothing. Now Zoom means everything to everyone. And I do not want to be having sexual story time on Zoom with anybody anytime soon. Zoom's how I talk. Zoom's how I talk to you every morning. Zoom's how I talk to my mom. No.
Yeah. Now all of a sudden, but also to be fair, you could say the same thing about phone sex. You use that phone to talk to your
mom.
Listen,
girl, you just made a very valid point. You're on fire this Monday.
Who is she this morning? Text messages. My friend said, I start my day with 25 hard nudes and then I get with it. And I was like,
wait, did you say hard nudes?
Yeah. He has nudes lined up and he fires them off and then he goes and like lives his day. I mean, this is where we're at right now. Okay.
Listen,
this weekend, did you see my Instagram stories? The gays were out, honey, in Los Angeles. They were all in Speedos filming some music video and they were twerking and shaking in heels and they were socially distanced, but also definitely over COVID.
Everybody's over COVID. I get it. So listen, maybe the Netherlands are on to something. The Dutch leading the nation yet again. Well done, Dutch. Well done, Dutch. Stay safe. So if we're going to take advice from the Dutch, go ahead and do it. We don't judge. Stay safe. Use precaution. Be an adult. Use common sense.
Absolutely. All right, you guys. Well, coming up, it is our checking in segment. I'm in Vegas this weekend while AJ holds down Los Angeles. Find out how we're doing on this Monday as we go into our week coming up next.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. I want to remind you that our show does get turned into a podcast every single day after we go off the air. So if you can't hang out with us at our regularly scheduled time, you can always catch up with us on the podcast by downloading that at radio.com. It's an app you can download. Look for The Morning Beat. Take us with you on your mobile device anywhere you go. Many, many states are sort of reopening right now. So if you're heading back out into the workforce, first and foremost, stay safe. But then add us to your routine. Tell your friends, tell your family. We'd really, really appreciate the support. So, Michaela Gordon, every day we like to take a little bit of time on our show because we really believe in the power of mental health here at Channel Q and just kind of looking out for each other, especially through these sort of, these uncertain times. So we do a segment each day called Checking In. I know what you're going through. Some of our listeners who've been with us, for a while know what you're going through, but you're currently in Vegas right now. Tell our listeners why and how you're kind of, how you're doing. How was your weekend?
Yeah, well, I drove to Vegas. As you guys know, my family's here. And my grandma passed away about 3 weeks ago. And due to, COVID-19 and the state being on lockdown, we weren't able to have like a viewing or a funeral for her. So it has lifted a bit in Vegas, enough that we were able to yesterday have a viewing for my grandma. We have her funeral this Tuesday. So I'm here, I'm here in Vegas with my family. I know there have been so many people that have lost loved ones during this global pandemic that they have not been able to fly home. They have to have a funeral on Zoom. So I do feel very grateful that I got to just drive home. It's very interesting. I've never been to a viewing before. So that was wow, wow, and wow.
Ready. I remember being like five.
Did you go to a viewing?
I mean, and I think in a matter of a year, at one point, we buried my little sister, my 6-year-old niece, and my grandfather all in a matter of a year's time. My stepdad's side of the family. Yeah. They're not fun.
Yeah, they're wild. I went to touch my grandma's hand, and anybody that has experienced this, I was like, oh my, no, I'm having a hard time finding the words because I'm having a hard time finding it that it's real.
Yeah.
Like, I think I'm still in a bit of disbelief. I mean, as you do, you think that. So this week I feel like it's becoming a little bit more real, and I just I'm going through the motions. I feel like there's only so much you can do. I keep trying to remember what you always tell me, and that's just to really have grace with myself and all the emotions I feel. I've decided during this time too that I just would rather not drink anymore. I kind of just want to I feel like it's important for me to feel these feelings really wholly and intentionally. And, I think that people look for different things to help numb the feelings, but I'm just trying to stay open. So it's a big day. It's kind of a lot.
I'm really proud of you. That's really quite an observation, a bit of self-reflection to understand that in this time you've made the choice to not self-medicate. That's not easy. Lord knows I've been down in bottles of wine and tequila on the weekends. I try not to really drink during the week, but then all I'm going through is the same thing that the rest of the planet's going through. So I think that's really beautiful of you to make that choice.
You know, it's a conversation I had to have with Lisa too. Maybe we can have later this week, but I think during the quarantine, people were saying, oh, what's a glass of wine? What's a glass of wine starting at noon? And we were normalizing it so much. And for me, I feel like it started giving me an excuse to just have happy hour whenever, and then having these really intense emotions and watching alcohol kind of be normalized. I've personally had to say for myself, like, this is not, we're 2 months into quarantine, Michaela. Happy hour is over, and we need to.
This is now just, grandma. This is life. This is life now.
Yeah, kind of. So I'm in a self-reflective place right now too. But, you know, I know it's for the better. And I just, you know, my heart is with everybody that is dealing with any kind of loss right now. It does not feel great, but we are definitely all in it together.
Well, I'm going to tell you that my heart is with you and your heart can stay with you for now. You're always so good at like giving your heart to everybody else that's going through anything else. You're going through something right now. You can keep your heart. I'll give my heart to other people for a while. How about that?
You hold on
to your own, take care of your things you need to take care of there in Vegas. And I'm sending you so much love and a big virtual hug via Zoom.
I feel it. And I love you. All right, you guys, well, coming up in our next hour, I'm so proud of some of the guests that have been joining our show, but you know and love him from Schitt's Creek. Dustin Milligan joins us to talk about his time on Celebrity Drag Race. You love him. We have it coming up next.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Now I hear Jeffree Star and some hot water, Michaela Gordon. What's that story and what's popping?
Okay, well, as you guys know, a lot of these YouTube makeup artists have really found a lot of success with creating their own makeup line, specifically with makeup palettes. So makeup palette can include, you know, 30 to 40, sometimes only 10 different eyeshadows. Oftentimes they can retail for $20 to $60. And people really look forward to them, especially Jeffree's, because his pigments really well. You can see it really well, and it's really well done.
He did a big collaboration last year with Shane Dawson.
Yeah.
My little sister was obsessed. My boyfriend did a whole YouTube video on it. This is a big deal. I had no idea how many people were into this, but it's a thing.
Totally. Absolutely. So he just talked about, he sent out a tweet over the weekend talking about his new collection, a larger collection that's set to launch on May 22nd. He said, get ready to be deceased as he launched the cremated palette. Now, some of the shades names are titles like RIP, Eulogy, Obituary, and The Morgue, among others. And so people started dragging him. They said, do you think that this is appropriate during a global pandemic? Like, hello, insensitivity. But another user came to Jeffree Star's defense and said, listen, you don't just come up with this palette during a pandemic. Like, this has been well thought out for some time. So then it showed proof that it was actually filed September 27th of 2019, way before we knew that we were hitting a global pandemic. And I think that people also have to know, like, we use the words kiki. Oftentimes you're like, queen, I'm dead. Oh, I'm deceased. Oh, I mean, that's sort of like become some of the verbiage. And so I kind of feel like maybe he could have held off.
Yeah,
well, until we weren't in a global pandemic, but, you know, also it's his brand.
It's totally because they probably printed all sorts of packaging and labeling and things like that. It's already been set to go through and redo all this. You remember a couple years ago when Kim Kardashian came out with her line of shapewear called Kimono,
and there's
a lot of backlash. Well, in her situation, she decided to take a step back, rebrand as Skims, and then relaunch. But she's also a billionaire. You know, Jeffree Star's got some money, but maybe... And also, keep in mind, not everybody mourns sad things the same way. In my family, there's actually a chapter in my book about my grandmother passing away, and the chapter is Dead AF. And because that's how my family mourns. Our cousins, we make jokes about it. We would laugh and say, hey, remember that time grandma used to make the best chocolate chip cookies? Then she died. And like in our family, that's how we cope. So if he wants to have a kiki, listen, leave it up to consumers to decide, right? We're America. If people want to buy it, they can buy it. If they don't want to buy it, they don't have to buy it. It's a bold choice, but I can't fault him on this one.
Yeah, we're not going to do cancel culture on this. I mean, it's clearly filed September 27th. Speaking of, this is not funny, but I feel like you will appreciate this. Yesterday at the viewing for my grandma, I went over to hold her and I was holding for a while. And then I kind of got tired. I leaned down for a second, didn't realize the casket was on wheels, honey.
Girl,
and my grandma took a tiny slide. I said, this is enough. I've had enough. I need to get away from my grandma. All right, you guys, well, coming up, we have a lot more for you, including in our final hour, NeNe Leakes, who's joining us from the Housewives of Atlanta. But first, graduate together. What a president should sound like. Obama had the most beautiful words. We have that audio for you coming up.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Coming up this hour, we have a great conversation about this idea of a president and what it should look like. We had a reminder this weekend as President Barack Obama gave a national commencement speech to our graduating seniors. We want to dive into that. We have some thoughts. Also, there's an interesting food making a resurgence during quarantine. I'm not going to tell you what it is just yet. You're going to have to tune in for that, but I will give you a hint. It might bring you back to your childhood days. That's all I'll say. I'm here for it. I'm kind of a fan of this. Michaela Gordon, how are we doing this hour?
Good. I feel like food is going to be making a lot of resurgence because a lot of people are cooking again. People are like doing normal lives again.
You know what I made this weekend? I told you that I went to my first like socially distanced family event this week and for the first time in months, and I made my homemade strawberry shortcake. So my nephews were there.
My God,
so
I love that.
So good. I definitely got like, you know, the little like shortbread, like those little like pound cakes that you can get that they're pre-made that you get that you put the strawberries in and you can do it that way, right?
Yes.
Well, that's what I grew up on. So I got those for the kids. For the adults though, and then I did like the whole glazed strawberry thing for them. Then I made a separate batch for the adults and I made sugar biscuits, which is basically like Bisquick mix, like how you make biscuits, but you add like 3 tablespoons of sugar to the batter. So I made a double batch of sugar biscuits, brought those over, macerated some strawberries overnight, and then brought some old-fashioned vanilla ice cream and some Ready Whip.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Poured a little bit of milk on those biscuits beforehand so it really sops it up and they're not too dry. Oh, it was so good.
Ooh. That sounds amazing. You know, it's so funny. I'm not kidding you. When we got to Lisa's mom's house last night, because we stay with Lisa's mom when we come into town, I said, I just wish we could have something sweet. And she went into the kitchen and sliced up a bunch of strawberries and put whipped cream on it. And I was like, this feels like strawberry shortcake. And I literally was thinking that exactly what you made.
Girl, strawberries and cream is a whole thing. I'm a tennis fan and Wimbledon every summer takes place over in the UK. And berries and cream is like a thing that they do. There's actually a berries and cream. Oh, my gosh. Emil, do you know the berries and cream video? I think it's berries.
You mean
and cream.
Peaches and cream?
Is it peaches and cream?
It's peaches and cream. Yes.
Is it a crazy? Wait, no. You're thinking of a music video.
No, it was a song.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm talking about something else. I think it's berries and cream. It's a funny YouTube video that my boyfriend pointed out to me one time. I'm going to look it up and send to you. I know the peaches and cream. That was like a pop bop from like the late 90s or something.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
We'll look them both up when we send them to each other. How about that?
Perfect.
While you do news on the beat, I'm going to look up this video.
Okay, please do. All right, about 100 countries are pushing for an independent investigation into the coronavirus pandemic. Now, a resolution drafted by the European Union will be presented at the annual meeting of World Health Organization members this week and calls for an impartial, independent, and comprehensive evaluation of the World Health Organization coordinated international health response to COVID-19. Now, it doesn't mention China specifically, but there's a general expectation that the country where the virus originated will definitely come up. All of this comes as Dr. Zhang Shan, the Chinese government's senior medical advisor, confirmed that local authorities in Wuhan had suppressed key details about the magnitude of the initial outbreak. Zhang also said the lack of immunity among citizens could put China in danger of another wave of outbreaks. Now, I do think it's important to not blame this on the Chinese. I feel like them withholding information. I don't believe we knew what was going on. I think we just didn't have the proper, they did not have the proper testing to really understand.
Yeah, I mean, there definitely should be an investigation, obviously, into what was withheld and when. But to blame an entire nation, that sounds a little bit irrational to me.
Yeah, same. All right, if you're celebrating a birthday, happy, happy birthday. You're in great company. You're celebrating with surf rock singer Jack Johnson, 45. Teresa Judy J is 49 years young. Tina Fey hits the big 5-0. And legendary baseball player Reggie Jackson, 74 years old.
Now, you just heard that name for the first time in your entire life, didn't you? Reggie Jackson.
Yeah, as far as I'm like, what, is that Randy Jackson or Reggie what? What am I saying?
His
American Idol?
No,
Doghouse?
All right, stop beating yourself up for where you feel like you fell short. Your past lessons are your greatest strengths. You will need all the lessons and experience you can get for what's next.
I love that. I think that's amazing. All right, you guys, well, coming up, this was incredible. Obama finally graced our screens this weekend, and he was talking to all the students graduating all over, and his words really resonated, I think, with people who weren't graduating. We'll have all that audio for you coming up next.
You're listening to The Morning Beat. Thank you so much for hanging out with us this Monday morning. Now, over the weekend, this is the time of the year, Michaela Gordon, where high school graduates would be graduating. You know, this weekend and next weekend, we're going into Memorial Day weekend. This is about the time of the year it starts to happen for most schools across the country. Obviously, they're not able to do that now because of the coronavirus lockdown. Also, many colleges and universities would be seeing their graduations this time of year. So all the major networks decided to team up. LeBron James sort of took this thing over, created a virtual commencement speech that was going to go out to the entire nation on ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, online program. Facebook aired this. And President Barack Obama gave the commencement speech. And he was very honest with his listeners by saying this.
Now, I'll be honest with you. The disappointments of missing a live graduation, those will pass pretty quick. I don't remember much of my own high school graduation. I know that not having to sit there and listen to a commencement speaker isn't all that bad. Mine usually go on way too long.
All right, so I agree. Listen, those commencement speeches lasted forever. I remember when I graduated high school, I actually do remember mine, and we sat out in that sun on the football field for what seemed like an eternity under those caps and gowns. It was so hot. Did you have an outdoor graduation, or were you guys indoors?
No, we were indoors, but you know, my graduation was so different. I had been on American Idol, and then I homeschooled, and then I graduated with my homeschool class. So we did it that way, but we had a cap and gown and all of that. But to be honest, he said it best. I actually don't even remember my graduation that well. Like, I remember having a party with my family. Mm-hmm. And celebrating, but like, I don't remember the, you know, moment of like getting ready and then hearing all the things. And I think
yeah,
that
I don't remember.
Yeah, no, I think to me, it's like a faint memory.
Yeah, he's kind of astute. I believe that I don't really remember my high school graduation too much. I sort of do. I remember my stepbrother and this other dude being really drunk. I remember somebody actually peeing their pants during that. That's all I kind of remember. And I remember it being very, very hot. I do remember my college graduation. That one stuck out to me. That was sort of a heartbreaking moment for me. I wrote about it in my book, Flipping the Script. I looked up into the stands for my college graduation from The Ohio State University. My dad walked out right before I got my diploma. So I actually got my college diploma like crying my eyes out. So yeah. I actually do remember that one. But I was a little bit older. I was also in college for about 6 years. Listen, honey, my coming out story took me on a journey. It took me a while to get that degree.
Well, but, you know, to be fair, even though like I don't necessarily remember, people worked really, really hard in high school to then get themselves to college. A lot of these people may have had to pay their own way or sure. Just spend the past 12 years working so hard, really yeah. Always knowing that this was important. So I do feel bad, but to be honest, I feel like I would rather have Obama speaking personally to me and performances like the Jonas Brothers and Maren Morris performing. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God. Okay. Yeah. Let's do it this way.
It's a pretty, pretty dope lineup. He goes on to say that, you know, as these kids grow up, And what we're seeing right now, it's kind of onto them to take over the reins, to take over the reins of this country, of this world. The future lies in their hands. He talks about this idea of pulling back the curtain.
It's also pulled the curtain back on another hard truth, something that we all have to eventually accept once our childhood comes to an end. You know, all those adults that you used to think were in charge and knew what they were doing? Turns out they don't have all the answers. A lot of them aren't even asking the right questions.
All right. So then we do. I mean, I get that. I understand the adults don't always have all the answers. I totally am on board with that. I'm an adult and sometimes I don't feel like I have the answers, but I'm not trying to run a nation during a global pandemic. It was reassuring for me to hear his voice, to be reminded of what we had and who we actually are, because I don't believe that Donald Trump represents the American people. He won the Electoral College, maybe, with the help of Russia. However, as far as real average everyday Americans go, I don't think he speaks for most of us. And I think Barack Obama sort of does.
I think you're right. And I think that it says a lot that the students wanted to have Obama speak. You know, Trump didn't really say anything, but...
Oh, you know what he did do, though? Did you see what Trump did do?
He tweeted.
At the same time, though, he had like an event on this random website for America's troops and our veterans. It's just so
disrespectful to the kids that were really excited to have that. I'll say this, though. I wish that was a lesson that I would have known. I don't mean to keep going back to this, but it's like my reality right now. And with the passing of my grandma, I'm being forced to make up with or try to be open-minded to having a relationship with my mom and maybe other people that I haven't. And I feel like growing up, we have this expectation that the grownups are supposed to know everything and they're supposed to fix everything. And you don't realize until you're older that they're really just humans making the same mistake. And they've been halted at whatever age they were when their own trauma or things started happening. And so I think that was a really powerful lesson. Even if it was shade to Trump, I think it's a lesson we can all take forward. You know, just because you're the grownup in the room doesn't mean you have all the answers.
And also sometimes, Donald Trump, being the grownup means stepping aside and letting those who are better equipped to deal with a certain moment, let them deal with it. Sometimes that's what being a grownup is. If you're the economy guy and we're in a pandemic and you don't know anything about a virus, let the people who know about the virus handle the situation.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, coming up, a certain food has skyrocketed by more than 120% during the coronavirus pandemic as Americans embrace the best quarantine food. To be honest, this food never left my side, but I'll let you know what it is coming up next.
You're listening to The Morning Beat, and this next conversation, Michaela, might go down as one of the all-time greats. We're talking food. We're talking food that's seeing a resurgence during quarantine, and I'm talking about the hot dog.
This is crazy!
The great American hot dog, Michaela. Hot dog sales have skyrocketed by more than 120% during this pandemic as Americans embrace what they're calling the best quarantine food, period. Hands down. 210 Analytics founder Anne Marie Rernick said that Americans' love affair with hot dogs will continue through the summer as people seek quick, easy meals they can make at home. Was the hot dog a part of your life? Was that a staple in your life as a child?
Oh, yeah, but I don't think we made them very often. Like, we would go get them. Like, when we would go to the grocery store with my grandma, we would get them at Costco. We would get them at 7-Eleven with Slurpee.
Oh, you were fancy.
Yeah, we were extreme fans. 7-Eleven really just was the way to go. Then my mother loved Wiener Schnitzel, so she would drive us through there. And we would
I've never been there.
Oh, I love it. I love it. But you know what's so, I'm not kidding you. I mean it wholeheartedly. I haven't had a hot dog in a long time. And I really was craving one yesterday. And I was like, that's kind of a weird, like, okay, great. Well, I'll have one. And now to know, and I have not even seen or read this article. I wonder what it is that people are like thriving for the hot dog.
Well, there's a few things. Like, so they're saying that people are turning to like alternative meat sources right now because it's more affordable. And that is definitely why I think I had a lot of hot dogs growing up. They're very, very convenient. So hot dog's interesting because you can do so many things with a hot dog. Listen, when I was a kid, we used to make like baked beans or SpaghettiOs and my mom would cut up a hot dog.
And put them in the mac and cheese.
Throw them in there so you have a meat source in your other, it sounds terrible to even say that loud now, but it also sounds kind of amazing. You can slice it down the middle. You can pan sear them so they kind of get a little bit crispy. You can put them in other things. You can eat them just on a bun with some ketchup and mustard and a little bit of relish if you're like a grown man like me. I only really eat hot dogs, to be honest. I eat them in the summertime at like a barbecue or a cookout.
Yeah.
Depending on where in the country you are, you call it something different. We call it cooking out or grill, where I come from. I do that. And then also if I go to a sporting event or a movie theater, which obviously we're doing neither of those right now.
But oh, I tell you what, movie theater hot dogs are good.
Mm-hmm. They have a fancy one at this Arclight in Hollywood here. And it's a apple chicken sausage hot dog on like a baguette. Now that's some fancy stuff, but that's, you need the spicy mustard for that.
I am just great with a regular basic hot dog. The fancy, I just need the all American good dog.
The next question is, when you make a hot dog, if you make a hot dog at home, I see three suitable ways of preparing it. Two of them are more suitable than the other. So now you can go like with the boil in the water. On the stove, right? You can boil them in some water.
Right.
You can maybe put them on a grill, which I'm also okay with, and they kind of get crispy and they blacken a little bit. There's the third option, the lesser known option that my mom used to use a lot when I was a kid, where she would put it in the microwave for 42 minutes till it splits open and explodes everywhere.
Yeah. No. My mom too. My mom was a microwave girl. I know. My mother loved that microwave. Oh God. Girl, I'm grossed out by
it. Did you ever used to eat hot dogs? Raw? Like cold hot dogs? Raw? Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that's also
Wow, this is really turned
into... this article says it's really convenient for parents too, because oftentimes parents, it's quick and easy, obviously, and that's always
the case. Well, it's like bologna. Like when you used to, did you ever take out the bologna and eat that?
You couldn't pay me to eat a slice of bologna, girl. That's disgusting.
Oh yeah, we used to eat the bologna. We'd put a bologna and cheese and wrap it up in a little thing and eat it.
That's gross. I could fry bologna and eat a piece if I had to. Like in a pan that was like kind of crispy. I can do that. Because my grandfather used to also make spam growing up, which was also weird to me, but I could fry that and eat some spam. However, the hot dog situation though, a lot of times as parents, like we don't have kids yet, but I've seen this with my nephews a million times. You make something for dinner. The kids don't want it. You're exhausted. What do? You throw a hot dog on a plate and say, eat it, kid.
Are you kidding me? My sister-in-law is the queen of that. She'll like try to make him a really healthy, balanced meal. And then my niece like freaks out. She's so stubborn. So she's like, good, I don't care. Here's an orange and here's an orange slices and a raw hot dog. Go to bed.
Well, they also go on to say that because we can't, you know, live our normal lives presently, hot dogs, they shoulder another responsibility. And that is they are an escape to a pleasant reminder of what once was and what will be once again in the future. Because there are a few things quite so American, like nostalgic American as a hot dog.
Yeah, like, you can't get really more nostalgic than that.
You think about that. Like, what's the easy barbecue? If you're going to have people over to have like an outdoor barbecue or a cookout, what's the easy route?
Yeah, you're
burgers,
hot dogging it.
Burgers and hot dogs. That's what you throw on the grill. Yeah.
Well, speaking of hot off the grill, Bachelor Nation's Hannah Brown is in some hot water after using a word she knows better than to use, but she's defending herself. Find out what she has to say and what's popping coming up next.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Thanks so much for hanging out with us this Monday, May 18th. We want to remind you that our show is also a podcast. So if you can't hang out with us live every day, no worries. You can take us with you on your mobile device anywhere you go, maybe from your couch to your kitchen and back to your couch. Or if you're maybe heading back out into the real world, be safe. Take the Morning Beat with you. You can download the radio.com app and listen to us 5 days a week, 6 days a week, 7 days a week, 8 days a week. Nope, there's only seven. What day of the week is it? I don't even know.
Nobody knows anymore.
Nobody really knows. But Kayla Gordon, what I do know, though, is one of America's favorite sweethearts recently is in some hot water right now. What's popping?
I'm going to say this. I think Hannah Brown's really nice. I'm not a big fan of Bachelor Nation. I've never actually watched The Bachelor. I have no desire to ever see anything like that. But she's become really very popular. Like you said, America's sweetheart. She's on Dancing with the Stars. She's in hot water because over the weekend she was doing an Instagram live and she was mouthing the lyrics to this song Rockstar, and she mouthed a word that she should never say, the N-word. Now, this is going to come up in conversation because people have asked, if you're singing it, is it different? It's never different.
No,
it's never different.
It's not.
You never get to sing it. But also, I'm tired of people mouthing the lyrics on Instagram lives and in videos. Like, just sing it or don't. What is this appeal with people just like mouthing the lyrics of rap songs?
Well, that's because you're an actual trained singer and it annoys you. But
oh my God, nothing is a bigger pet peeve besides being able to hear people eat and drink. However, she gets called out and she goes, "I did," saying she didn't even know she said it. She said, "I'm so sorry. I was singing a song. I'm so sorry." She later added, "I don't think I said that word, but now I'm like, oh God, I've never used that word. I've never called anybody that. You can think I'm something that I'm not, but I'm not that."
I think this brings up a really interesting conversation, though. And I believe that most people, obviously white people, because I can only speak for myself. I feel like most white people probably have racist feelings inside of them without even realizing it. But I would say that most people aren't necessarily racist. And using this word, it goes without even realizing she did it. Because I think that maybe she really didn't realize she said it. And it was probably just so, but that's the problem. It's so nonchalant, so casual that white people think they can just sing along to a rap song that is not intended for them to sing along to. I think she probably really didn't even realize she did it.
I feel like she didn't either.
That doesn't make it okay. That's actually part of that shows that there's a bigger problem, that this word is so casually used by people, and that's not okay.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's never okay. There are some people that have come to her defense. Tyler Cameron, who is also on Bachelor Nation, they've been quarantining together. And he said, HB needs us to lift her up right now. Let's lift her up.
She didn't really, if she didn't realize she said it and didn't really mean anything by it, she probably feels awful.
I think she feels awful, and I don't make excuses for very many people, but I feel like we've gotten to know Hannah Brown, and I think she's kind. I don't think that she's racist. I think she just made a mistake.
I think it could be a teachable
moment. But it's a huge
moment. Yeah.
Yeah. But
we live in this cancel culture. Yep.
Yeah. It's never, you don't. Well, and it's sad too, because I was looking through her comments and somebody tagged one of her sponsors and said, "You're canceled if you don't cancel her." And they said, "We have already ended our sponsorship with Hannah Brown." And I feel like I just don't agree with cancel culture whatsoever. And I think that we are learning, we're not able to learn from our mistakes right now.
Yeah, that definitely needs to be a difference between canceling somebody for, you know, a serious crime, rape, sexual assault, murder, those sorts of things. I get that. But for somebody using the wrong word and immediately apologizing for it, I think we need to show people some grace.
Yeah. Archie's, well, coming up in our final hour, you know and love her from Housewives of Atlanta, Queenie Nene Leakes joins us to talk about her new single and also about cancel culture. Stick around with the new Channel Q.
Berries and cream, berries and cream. I'm a little lad who loves berries and cream.
Michaela Gordon, I am a man that keeps my promises. That's the berries and cream Starburst
this is
commercial.
So dumb.
We referenced it earlier this
berries
morning. You never
cream.
Heard of it. Well, you said you had berries and some strawberries with cream Lisa made for you. I said, oh my God, the berries and cream commercial is hilarious. I was not even that familiar with it. I sort of remembered it. A couple of weeks ago, as we're quarantined and losing our minds, my partner said something about berries and cream. He's like, oh my God, you don't remember the commercial? And we watched it probably 10 times back.
It's so stupid.
Hilarious and absurd.
Berries and cream.
Berries and cream. Apparently the guy, he's an actor. The guy who played the young lad in that commercial is an acting teacher in New York City. Now, I just looked him up, and he hates when his students reference it or when they do the dance.
Why?
I don't know.
It's iconic.
Yeah, I know. And maybe he hasn't lived up to it since then. And he's feeling some sort of way, Michaela. So let's
that is cream.
Well, berries
you know,
and cream.
I loved it. Well,
berries
listen.
And cream. That's not all we have this hour.
Oh, no, honey. We have got a big hour. We've been waiting for this. Nene Leakes, Housewives of Atlanta. We had the most incredible conversation with her, in my opinion. She's got so much going on, including a gay bop that is now out that you can download. She was amazing. She's everything that I thought she was going to be.
She's been holding that peach down in Atlanta for years, honey. She is the queen. queen
yes.
of Reality Housewives, in my opinion. I think she's fantastic. She's definitely controversial. Same. Sometimes I can't stand her, but I kind of love her in this interview. And I think our listeners are going to be really, really happy with it. We're super excited about Same. That. The original Georgia Peach, Miss Nene Leakes. Also, we want to remind you, next week we've got a really great week coming up. Or later this week, we have Mira Sorvino on the show. From Hollywood. She's Hollywood royalty. She's an Academy Award winner. And then next week, we have Tamar Braxton as well. So we've got a lot going on. 20 minutes from right now, though, we have Nene Leakes, Real Housewives of Atlanta. So don't go anywhere. Michaela Gordon, how about some news on the beat?
You got it, babe. Well, health officials are doubling down on their warnings about mass gatherings as more U.S. venues reopen. They say large in-person gatherings like services or meetings are especially a risk because it only takes one person to set off a coronavirus outbreak. It happened in California where a single person exposed 180 others to the virus after attending a Mother's Day church service. Now, Texas, one of the first states to start reopening, had its highest single day increase in new coronavirus cases this weekend. However, it's not clear whether the surge is simply due to more testing or if the virus is spreading more rampantly. Now, regardless, more beaches, amusement parks, and other much-missed destinations are looking to reopen soon as Memorial Day and the start of summer rapidly approach. Now, in other news, White House officials have been hammering the CDC with criticism over coronavirus efforts, adding to simmering tensions between the administration and the nation's leading public health agency. Dr. Deborah Birx, coordinator for the president's coronavirus task force, has become increasingly critical. She says the way the CDC gathers data on the coronavirus is antiquated, which could cause inaccurate and delayed numbers on both the virus cases and deaths. White House trade advisor Peter Navarro said the CDC let the country down when early testing efforts proved to be faulty. But the rift between the White House and CDC, which, remember, is a federal institution, centers on differing opinions about how quickly the U.S. should reopen. It's so interesting. Do you know that I just saw, as I was scrolling during our break, there is a bar that now has... They're putting like water donut. You know when you go into the pool and you like sit in the donut.
Mm-hmm.
They're putting it around their waists and are going into the bars to ensure they're still 6 feet away, but that they can start going in. And
girl, they understand those donuts are not 6 feet wide, right? Or 3 feet wide. I mean,
well, they've created something. This particular bar has. We can talk about the story tomorrow, but it's interesting to see how people. Are insisting on letting life continue on for them, and they'll follow the CDC, but they're like, listen, we're not doing it anymore. I'm over it.
That's just so weird to me. Like, I don't need to go to a bar or restaurant that bad where I'm going to wear a cone around my body or a tube around my body to keep, like I want to go because I want to interact with people. If I can't actually do that, that takes away, for me, like, the point of going out. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. All right, you guys. Well, in other news, if you're celebrating a birthday, happy birthday. You're celebrating with Teresa Giudice. She's 49. Tina Fey hits the big 5-0. And surf rock singer Jack Johnson hits 45. Now hit us with a vibe of the day.
You know what, Michaela? I had my berries and cream moment. You did not get your peaches and cream moment. So I'm going to skip my vibe today. just take us into a little break with this.
I love it. Coming up, you know and love her from Housewives of Atlanta, Nene Leakes joins us next.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. We're super excited about this next guest. I consider her the true OG of the Housewives franchise. If you watch Real Housewives of Atlanta, you understand exactly who I'm talking. Please welcome to the program, Ms. Nene Leakes.
Yes, honey. ATL in the building.
Okay, so I will say this. So we all know that, you know, Orange County was the first. Vicki Gunvalson's the original OG, blah, blah, blah. However,
allegedly,
I will say it wasn't until Atlanta and those ratings started popping that this entire franchise took off. So in my heart, you're the OG.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Okay, so first, can we start up talking about this song? I'm curious to know, me personally, how do I get that money, honey? How do I get to it? Like, can you tell me?
You look like you already got some money, honey. You are not fooling me, honey. Listen, I can tell by looking at you, honey, you already got a little money now.
Yes.
Okay? But you know, how you get the money is to be around people with money. And that's how you get to the
Love
money.
Love it. Well, yeah. I'm loving this. Now, I oftentimes when housewives, and I will not name them, put out songs, yeah. you're like, ooh. But then I saw you did Come and Get This, Honey. if the gay clubs were open, they would be losing their minds. Talk to us about Coming at This, Honey, because I love it.
Well, you know what? For a long time, they've been asking me to do a song, and I didn't want to do it because of what you just said. There were a lot of housewives that were doing songs and just being silly and stuff, right?
Are you talking about Luann? You're talking about Luann. Let's just say it.
I love Luann. My girl. She's one of my girls in my little circle. I love you,
Luann. I love that. That's one of your homegirls. That's so cute.
Yeah, she's really good. I like Luann. But there were other girls. Kenya. Okay, twirl, you know, so there were other people, honey, that were making music that could not make music. I've been on Broadway and I've done Glee and I've always sung there. So I really wanted to sing. When I got inside of the studio, I worked with Lady Luck and she's a rapper. And she said to me, Nene, you can rap. Let's do it. And I said, girl, I don't know how to do it. And she said, I'm going to show you a couple things. You do what I do and you got it. So she showed me a few things and here we are with Come Get This, Honey.
Well, listen, Beyonce's doing it with Meg the Stallion right now, and you're holding your own, girl. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious to know. So on this show, like we've watched a couple episodes of this reunion. First of all, it's kind of, I wasn't sure how I felt about it, but this idea of a virtual reunion, you guys are the very first to ever do this, which I think is kind of iconic and appropriate.
Yeah.
Y'all are not holding back. You're spilling the tea. On the first episode, you slammed your laptop shut. I want to know.
I love that.
We can talk about Kenya Moore. We're going to get to her. But I need to know about Cynthia Bailey. Because here's what I see.
Too.
I'm going to be real with you, Nene. My boyfriend and I both, you're the character that we root for so hard every single season.
No matter what.
But you can also be the character that we get so infuriated with sometimes.
Because
it feels like there's a wall that goes up with you sometimes. And once the wall goes up, it's so hard to come back down. Now, you made up with Portia this season. You're kind of cool with Candy. You're kind of like frenemies. But this Cynthia Bailey relationship, just as an outsider watching, you know, from home, I know how reality shows are. It seems to me a little bit like you like being the big sister, but when somebody kind of like comes back and sticks their chest out a little bit and they kind of grow up a little bit, it seems like the relationship gets a little rocky. Is there any truth to that? Or is there something we're not seeing about Cynthia on the show that makes this relationship continue to hit this brick wall?
I definitely think it's something that you're not seeing, honestly, because Cynthia is as old as I am. So, I think they showed a little bit of more Cynthia's personality this season than they've ever shown before, because in the past, I think they've always shown her as sort of like, ooh, but Cynthia is a tough girl. I feel like she does a lot of things, you know, sneaky and underhanded. Even at the reunion, there were a lot of things that Kenya were saying to me I knew came from Cynthia's mouth.
Wow. Really?
So I knew, look, Cynthia's not an angel. That's all I can tell you. You know, she's been in a fight with Portia before. She's just not an angel. Also, I think our friendship started to go downhill, honestly, and I'm not lying. This is the God honest truth. I've said it a million times. I don't know why. I have been a great friend to Cynthia. Yeah. She's been a great friend to me. I was truly hurt by the dissolve of our relationship, and that was real.
I was upset about it.
I love the two of you together.
Even after she sees, you know, Kenya, how she comes in and kind of ruins the engagement, the surprise, and even watching that back, were you shocked that Cynthia still wasn't more upset and still didn't, you know, finally start to see Kenya for who she really is?
I really was upset when we were in Greece and I saw Kenya really tear down Cynthia's business and Cynthia really didn't confront her the way I felt she would have came at me. I really felt some kind of way. And I was like, girl, you would have been saying something to her like this. Mm-hmm. You all always talk about how you eat and people taking food off of your plate. Well, this is your business. And she was really putting her business down. And I saw Cynthia not really stand up to her. What I think, because I'm in the circle, Kenya is one of those people who will say anything or tell anything. So I feel like she has something on Cynthia. And I feel like Cynthia doesn't want to like go head to head with her because Kenya is going to tell any and everything they've ever said or done.
Idea what that might be?
I don't know what that is, but I'm sure it's a lot of talking about me that I'm sure Kenya will be happy to spill.
Well, I want to ask you, we also loved your relationship with Kim. You had a falling out. I'm Team Nene forever. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Have you guys spoken since quarantine? Are you guys in good company?
They did a full IG live together.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
It was incredible. It was amazing.
Yes, we did. Yes. Yes. I have spoken to Kim quite a few times since we've been quarantined. And yes, we did a cocktails and conversation together. So yeah, we don't live that far from each other. We've only been talking and texting over the phone.
I love that. I do. I think that it was such a great friendship. And for people that don't know, do check out the IG live. Now, Nene, how have you been doing in quarantine? Being alone? Is it crazy?
You know, I'm not really alone. My husband and my son are here. I bought a business while I was in quarantine. Since I've been in quarantine, I purchased a business. And so we've been getting up every morning, going to the business. We just started doing it in the last like 2 or 3 weeks, going up to the business every day, trying to get it ready. It's going to be a few months before we can open for business, but it'll be a surprise. We'll tell everybody at some point.
Nene, that's amazing. That.
So is it not another clothing store?
Not another clothing store, no. Okay. In fact, I'm trying to close a clothing store.
Well, you've done so much, Nene.
One of my stores is located inside of a mall, and I'm really afraid. With all the strange people.
Well, in just a moment, we're going to find out what store she actually is opening. And we're also going to touch on the Ahmaud Arbery case. This has made headlines the last couple of weeks. It took place in the state of Georgia. And we asked Nene Leakes about it in just a moment. Thanks so much for joining us here on The Morning Beat. We're joined again by the star of the Atlanta Housewives, Nene Leakes. I'm enjoying this one, Michaela. She's fun.
Couldn't be happier.
Can I ask you, Nene, as a man in an 8-year relationship with a black man from Georgia?
Georgia.
he drove me around Buckhead. We were down there for Mother's Day a few years ago. He drove me around. We saw Chateau Charest. It still wasn't done.
AJ.
but on a more serious note, you know, as a mother of a black man, when you see like the story like Ahmaud Arbery, as you know, this has been happening forever. You know, for many people, this is so shocking and it can't believe this happened in 2020. Yeah. But as a black woman and as a mother of a black man, you know this story all too well. Do you have any thoughts on, you know, what Ahmaud's mother must be going through or what the community is feeling down there in Atlanta?
Listen, I saw late at night, for some reason, somebody kept saying the video's out. And I just decided in the middle of the night, laying in my bed to press on the video and watch it. Why did I do it? I couldn't sleep for the rest of the night. I thought it was awful. And I said the same thing that you're saying. I said, as a mother of two black boys, that could have been one of my boys. And I feel really horrible for her. She said that she will never look at that video. And I advised her not to. Because it hurt me to look at it. And he's not even my child. I was just undone by it. It is awful. Now, this did not happen in Atlanta, Georgia. You do know that.
Yeah,
this was on the outside.
Yeah.
Outside of, out in the country area.
Well, my partner's been vacationing in that. It's a beachside city down. They've been going there with his family for years. Mm-hmm. His father's a pastor. They go there on retreats. And so I know it's not actually Atlanta, but if you could speak to just sort of white America for a moment and just kind of express, you know, how this feels to be the mother of black men or just to be a person of color in this country in 2020. And what sort of message do you want white people quite get it? Like, what can we do? What do we need to know?
Well, I don't understand why one wouldn't get it. It doesn't have anything to do with race to me. All you need to do is be a human with a heart and just know that doing something such as that it's unreal. It's not right. It doesn't matter about the color. It could have happened to a Mexican guy or it could have happened to anybody. That just is not right. Mm. It could have been black guys shooting a white boy. That's just wrong. That's all it is to it. And if you have any kind of heart, this is what I would say. If you know what's right, then you want to live right. Like, I want to live right. I don't really care what color you are. If I like you, I like you. And I don't have that kind of hate in my heart. You have to have a lot of hate in your heart to look at that and be okay with it.
Mm. Nene, you're so incredible, really. You are so much more than a housewife. You've been on Broadway. You worked with the incredible Ryan Murphy. You now have your own single. Come and get this, honey. Nene, you know the LGBTQ community thrives for you. We love you. When this is over, we hope that we can party with you with this song. The clubs will open up. I would love to introduce. Thank you, Nene Leakes. We adore you. And now take listen to Come and Get This Honey. Honey.
You better shake those shoulders, honey.
Yes, honey.
Awesome. You're listening to The Morning Beat. Now, we're coming to the end of our show, but that doesn't mean you have to stop listening to us. You can download the radio.com app, take The Morning Beat with you on your mobile device anywhere you go, whether you're still socially distancing at home or socially distancing out in the real world. We'd invite you to hang out with us 7 days a week. Tell your friends and family. Now, before we wrap up today, we like to end each show with a segment called Life Goes On, where we remind you that there's still so much good happening in the world in the midst of this pandemic. There's still so much to be grateful for. So here are three inspiring stories to send you off into your day. The U.S. Navy grants its first waiver for transgender service member to serve under their preferred gender. Now, we know we've seen President Trump tried to ban it, that the courts came back and said he could. And then a couple years ago, they said he could. So this whole transgender movement has really sort of been brought to a halt by the current presidential, the man in the White House. We'll call him that, Donald Trump. This is good news, though, that now they're actually giving waivers or an option now for those who do want to serve their country, whether they're, you know, whether they feel like they are, you know, trapped in the wrong body, have gender dysphoria, whatever it is they're feeling, they can apply now for a waiver, which it shouldn't have to come to this.
Yeah.
But it is an option right now, which is a success, which is a step in the right direction, which needs to be celebrated, I believe. So
absolutely,
that just happened. We're super excited about that.
That's amazing. That's a huge deal.
Yeah. Archibald,
well, in other news now, we've had some of our favorite Broadway legends on the show, like Shoshana Bean and Todrick Hall. But now you can watch Hairspray, stars from Broadway and movies and more, to sing the musical's Feel Good finale. So a lot of us are seeing how some of our favorite celebrities are just getting together over Zoom and still recreating the magic. And among the all singing and all dancing participants are Kristen Chenoweth, Martin Short, Ricky Lake, Sean Hayes, Nikki Blonsky, Derek Hough. They'll all join, and they're going to help raise money for the Actors Fund. As you guys know, Broadway's been hit really hard. And if they're set to not be able to work for another 3 months, that's a big deal. So all of your favorite Broadway legends will be coming together to do the finale of the Hairspray song. We'll have more information for you on that. But
I will tell you,
it's going to be amazing.
This is one of my favorite Broadway shows of all time. Also one of my favorite musical films of all time, written by John Waters, who we had on the show right before everything went south. Remember,
yes,
he was supposed to be at Dinah Shore this year. He came on our show to promote. And then about a week or two later, the pandemic hit and the world changed. Hairspray, though, is so timely. It is so current still. I remember when NBC did their live version a couple years back, I had a friend who works in production on that, and we got to go to the last live rehearsal before it actually went live to air. And I sat in the main set where they do like the dance off and they do the dance shows. I forget what it's even called. And it was so, so awesome. Just to see it live in front of me.
Yes.
So impressive. So I'm excited about this.
Yeah.
How about this one? So a nursing home in France stop the coronavirus from infecting any of their elderly patients or anyone living in a nursing home with a 47-night sleepover. This is really interesting.
So
a woman by the name of Valerie Martin, she runs the home in Corbus, France. She cares for 106 elderly people. When she heard the coronavirus was doing to elderly communities across Europe, she decided to take drastic action, and it has paid off. She said to herself, "Nope, not mine. My residents still have so much to live for." So she decided to completely close the building, invited staff members and nurses to join her in the lockdown. They thought it was going to be 3 weeks, turned into 47 nights. The staff lived in the nursing home, doors locked, nobody in, nobody out for 47 nights. And after all of this, 106 residents, not a single person has contracted COVID-19. They did fun things every day to keep them busy, because the other option is, you isolate seniors in their rooms. You don't let them leave. And that's just, it's so depressing.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
How great is that? I love that. That's amazing.
And kudos to the staff. Who's going to give up their life for 47 days and go live with this? Amazing. I think it's so wonderful.
Listen, it's a little over a month. And if you can help save over 100 senior citizens. I think it's worth it. I'm so happy that they did do that. All right, you guys, well, coming up for our show tomorrow, we have a great week ahead. You know and love her from Romeo and Michelle's high school reunion, but more importantly, Hollywood on Netflix now. Mira Sorvino joins us to talk about her experience, of course, and we just want to keep sending you good vibes. Have a great rest of your Monday. Show yourself a little grace, and we'll see y'all tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.